Okay. I'm hosting. I'll start. The arbitrary scale is video conferencing services.
That's very smart. Let's go in 2009 and let's do scalp. Oh, scalp.
Scalp!
Whoa! Whoa!
I am Native American. I am Native American, so maybe it's in my blood. Yeah, white man must die. I mean, fuck it.
That little clip is going somewhere on one of my portable hard drives, never to be seen.
Oh, please. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
I'm going to look at this one day when I'm like 30 going, oh, what's audioface underscore 135.mp4? What's this?
Yeah.
Ooh,
all right.
Okay.
I was going to say Skype, not scalp.
Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. I'm Dan.
I'm Sean.
Episode 135. We have three. We're kind of rounding up March. This March 2020 has been an interesting month. It'll go down in history for numerous reasons, but it'll also go down in history for being a pretty awesome music month. And we have like the last things.
The last little bits of it.
Some of the last things. We have Megan Thee Stallion's Sugar, which came out as a drop that came out way earlier this month that we're finally getting to. 16 Oceans by Fortet, which we were going to review last week, but then Childish Gambino happened. Mm-hmm. And then After Hours by Little Dragon, that actually came out this week. Mm-hmm. So we do have new music for you, extremely new music. I have a long list of albums that we missed over March. Like J Balvin released one that was really amazing. I haven't heard it yet, so I don't know if it's really amazing, but like J Balvin's a pretty interesting artist. So like, I want to check that out at some point. We have a music recommendations like thing planned. Yeah. In the next like couple of weeks, we'll release as a bonus episode. We have like a bunch of recommendations to have, but
yes, that we definitely do.
Yeah, in this episode, we will start with Yankee and the Brave, which looks to be one of the first singles, or maybe the first single from Run the Jewels 4,
mm-hmm.
That got dropped. Basically, LP is just like, yeah. like many people, he's very just like antsy being mm-hmm. alone at home all the time, and he's like, "Fuck it, let's release the album." Not release the album. I mean, I'd love it, but he's like, "Fuck it, let's release the song."
Yeah. Which, it was fun, it went hard, it wasn't Uncle Raffy. All summer, and I put that on Osama and my motherfucking mama. I'ma terrorize the actors playing like they want some drama. I'ma chop them with a chopper till I motherfucking drop them. Stack attic or Mac with the blackest fabric. I'm back, I'm magically back in the dash when I'm ducking rat-a-tat-tats. I'm running the trunk of a sucker shit. Matter of fact, it's the acid, even the crack. Automatic facts, it's like that. Scam a bliss when you put in villains in charge of shit. All of us targeted, all we doing is arguing harder than missing work until every pocket been picked and sold and harvested. I'm ready to mob but he's fucking charlatans. Yeah, I mean, like, it's, I wouldn't, like, there is a fine line because, like, Killer Mike came up when a lot of the uncle rappers mm-hmm. today were, like, hitting their stride in the mm-hmm. mid-2000s. Killer Mike was, like, an underground guy in the mm-hmm. in the early 2000s, I mean. Yes. And even some of the mid-2000s, but, like, he made his cred. But, like, once Run the Jewels came out on the stage, and I think I might try to Zoom conference Tammy in for a Run the Jewels bonus episode, right?
Because she's one of the biggest Run the Jewels fans I know, and she can like follow the track between 1, 2, 4, which is about to happen. But yeah, Yankee and the Brave, it's a pretty fun song.
I really like it.
There's also reason to believe that the song will be edited before the final
I'm not going to be surprised. I've noticed a lot of that with singles this year where you have a bunch of singles that are released before albums, and then they go on the albums and they're very edited. Like Caribou did that, Tame Impala did that. It's getting more common with it. Because, you know, usually you have a single put on the album and it's pretty much bane,
that's
almost
it.
The
yeah.
same, that's it. But a lot of people are editing because they're releasing it so far in advance
yeah.
to their albums that changes. Because if you have, especially if you have a year over a year between a single and an album, it's like, whoa, there's a lot of things that can happen in that
yeah.
time.
Whoa. No, I love it, honestly, because like...
Oh, it gives you almost two songs sometimes.
It gives you two songs. It gives you people, like, if they're really paying attention to their music fans, it gives people like a really good look into what it's like to actually mm-hmm. produce content.
Exactly.
Like, I wish YouTube had a feature where you could re-upload videos, or like at least see like the history of re-uploaded videos, because I would so redo Dan from the Internet videos and make them better. But like, you get to even see that kind of process happening. Back when Kanye West released...
T-Lop,
yeah, Life of Pablo,
which
and
one,
he was
one,
like
one,
actively updating that album. Mm-hmm. I was like, this isn't a good idea for an album you just released. Like, once you release it, it's like, okay, final work. Like, yeah. not tweaking yeah. it. But I think in the lead up, this is the part where, like, Kanye West was seeing ahead into the future, because I think this is, like, a really good thing.
Well, lead up, it's cool, but once you drop yeah. the album, then just let it be, and then what you can change is in the live performances.
Yes. But otherwise, yeah. Yankee and the Brave, great song. Make sure you share this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher are our most popular platforms, so if you're on one of those, thank you for listening. Follow us on Spotify. Give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. It really helps the visibility of the show. YouTube.audioface.show. I'm uploading the backlog of a lot of Audioface reviews that we did, basically 100 and up. So the video versions of those will be going up soon. So check those out. And they have been going up throughout the week. And yeah, April's going to be fun.
April's going to be very good.
Assuming nothing gets like hyper pushed back, which one thing already did, we'll talk about in a moment. But we have The Strokes, RJD2, Gregory Porter, The 1975. One of The Strokes.
I'm putting a heavy asterisk next to 1975 because I don't trust Maddie.
That's
I don't fucking trust Maddie no more.
That's what happens. That's what, Sean has trust issues.
I've always had trust issues. Let's be real. Maddie's my boy, but I don't trust that fucker.
Yeah. But anyways, can you say the title just because I like the way you say that? No, right here. The thing I'm pointing at.
It's Corona time.
Yes, that's my fucking favorite thing.
Hey, Holmes, you know what time it is? It's Corona time.
I am only 25% allowed to do any of that.
My last name is Suarez, so I'm allowed.
That made it easier. Okay, an interesting thing is happening because...
this is weird. People
are home more. They're consuming way more content. Netflix even had to throttle themselves in Europe because too many people were on Netflix. It was like clogging up the whole internet.
Yep.
So you'd assume like content streaming would increase. But the interesting thing is that music streaming and album sales have been down during the coronavirus pandemic, which is really interesting.
Which is really interesting. Neither have I. I mean, my numbers have gone up this month. Literally, yeah. And then like my
podcast numbers have gone down, which I think might be because usually I'm listening to podcasts as I'm working, and since I'm not doing as much like outside work, then there is like, I guess that usual like pattern I would like attach that action to is not there. So I can understand that for a lot of people. Like maybe they listen to most of their music when they're at the gym that's closed right now, or maybe they listen to most of the music like while they're on runs that like in heavily densely populated areas they can't go on. So like.
But that could be things. I mean, it'd be interesting to see what happens in the next few weeks, because also this is such an adjustment of life where I think most people are just figuring out how they're going to live and shit.
Yeah.
To where now, maybe since it's calming down a little bit, to where those numbers may go back up.
So physical album sales dropped a whopping 27.6%.
That I see coming. That makes sense.
I mean, it's wild, but digital album sales fell 12.4%. And pop, rap, R&B, and Latin music all saw drop-offs compared to their usual trends. Mm. But classical, folk, and children's music saw minor increases. Like, and we're talking like below 5%.
Because I know for children's music and stuff, it's because they're having to homeschool a lot. Classical is because the first people that did at-home concerts that I saw were classical music, classical musicians. So a lot of it were like...
Contemporary classical musicians.
Yeah, like classical pianists were the first people I saw live streaming concerts, because they're concert pianists. That's literally their job. And they said, hey, we're stuck inside, so we're just going to do this. And I saw that. They were, boom, the first people on. And they were really advertising their music and stuff to it. And people were buying that shit up.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really smart to do. And I was wondering why some more artists... It took them a week to start doing that.
I mean, it's just like you're slow to the release, I guess.
But I thought that was really smart. There's a bunch of people I saw doing that. So, but it's cool. But now, there's another thing. Fender, the guitar brand, they're offering 3 months of free guitar lessons, which I fucked with Fender Heavy. I just got an original 96 Telecaster Plus. Which is extreme bragging.
96, good year.
It is extreme good year. That is my favorite guitar.
I also own a Fender bass. Mm-hmm. We enjoy Fender here. They make pretty good deals. But yeah, they are offering. It usually costs $9.99 a month or $89.99 a year. Pretty much same prices around the world. About $100. But for 3 months you can learn to play guitar courtesy of Fender. I think that's really cool. I think it's guitar, bass, and they may have another instrument, possibly piano, but like even if they don't, it's a lot of these video tutorials for things have existed online forever and they're doing even better now.
Yeah, it's interesting to see if more people will learn stuff because of this.
Yeah.
I hope it does. Because I want more people to learn instruments. Because it's like learning a second language and you fully learn an instrument and it makes you appreciate the art more.
Yes. What was I going to... Oh, no. We can just continue.
Yeah.
Lady Gaga has also postponed the release of her album Chromatica. It was going to come out in April. It was going to be one of our bigger April releases. Mm-hmm. I was looking and thinking, can I pull Sean through a retrospective episode of this? Probably not, because Lady Gaga is like my guilty pleasure. So like, I understand.
I don't mind her music. There's some things of her I like, there's some things of hers I don't like, but I can definitely appreciate her as an artist. But as a retrospective, probably not, because I don't know it as well.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I thought that and I decided not to, but it's good that I decided not to because she's not releasing her album.
Yeah,
she said that given everything that's going on, it doesn't feel like the right time to release that album, which I totally respect that. It might look bad if you release like a particularly peppy album,
yep.
even though it was planned many months before we even knew coronavirus was a big issue.
It just happens.
Even before politicians had private meetings in which they were told that coronavirus was a big issue.
And then they dump their stocks and make money off of it.
And then get a $2 trillion
bailout for Boeing, who they're like, oh, we don't even need this because we're going to wait until the government gives us money. But if the government gives us any stipends into that money, we're not going to do it.
Borrowing a comment from Twitter.com.
I fucking hate Boeing.
Borrowing a comment from Twitter.com. It's interesting that capitalism only works as long as there's socialism instrumented in it every 10 years. Capitalism to work, socialism needs to be implemented. You get a check. I really just hope...
Bitch for you.
I really just hope the checks come with Donald Trump's signature on them.
I'm gonna fucking print it. I want to frame that shit.
Frame it.
I'm going to show that shit to my grandchildren and be like, yo, granddaddy, be a baller. He got a check from the Donald.
No. It's like, I want to tell you how weird this like 10 years of history was. Like, this is fucking bizarre.
Let's rewind this shit real quick.
But anyways, as we continue on the Stubblecast, let's go to
politics.
Let's go to Megan Thee Stallion's Drop Sugar. It was a release that came out on 6th of March, so we're getting into it kind of late, but nevertheless, it's here.
9 songs, 24 minutes long as a drop. There's a lot of shit to unpack on this, I think, actually.
Yeah. I'm interested in your opinion, being the resident trap hater of the podcast. And then,
I like this.
Wow.
I kind of like this.
Wow.
It's fucking wild. It's very vulgar, but I like it.
I mean, that's pure wholesome trap.
It is pure wholesome trap, but it is produced well.
Ah, yes.
It is produced fantastically because that was my whole thing with Lil Uzi Vert. It sounded like a fucking Fisher-Price keyboard put into a 2004 Toshiba laptop with like a half-broken screen that a dude pissed on when he was drunk. Drinking, I'm going to pull myself there before I get bleeped. anyways, but Sugar is a fun little drop. Savage is going to be a hit. Like, I mean, I know it is, but like, listening to it myself, I go, oh yeah,
work out to it.
Yeah, this is a lot of people going to be blasting this shit for the entire year. That's definitely one of the big songs. I really like Hit My Phone, featuring Kalani.
Come and get me. You can hit it in the party if you're feeling risky. I got all these niggas mad because they where you want to be on a dance floor, ribbon all on my
That's
body. Yes.
Really gorgeous.
I'm really
song.
Happy.
I like that song a lot. Captain Hook is fucking hilarious.
It's like, Captain Hook is like, people reached out to me to tell me that Captain Hook was a great song.
Dude, the shit was, it was so raunchy and wild. I'm like, listening to it, I'm like, this is hilarious. You can cuff me, but I'm wifey. I just want a nigga who gon' slurp me like a icy. Bitches bite me so hard, had to put them on a diet. Bitches say no tryouts, all the hoe, you better try me. I got a man, I got a bitch, I'm
I'm a banana, they got a split. One on your top, one on your tip. One for the club, one for the crib. My nigga fine, I wanna fuck. Ice in his mouth, eat me up. Rocking his chain, wearing his ring. Getting some brain, I go shopping, want it, then I cop it, ayy. Yeah, bitches popping, I do what they copy, ayy. Look, he's a sweetie, kiss it when he eat it, ayy. Yeah, know it's good when you chewing and you singing.
It even like, it feels like 21 Savage.
So you feel like Captain Hook. Yeah, I feel like it. Yeah, exactly.
Because like every every bar, there was like a sword unsheathing noise in the background, like a shink, and it was like usually 21 does that almost as like a trap tag.
Yeah,
but I'm seeing it more.
She had a trap tag. It was some like you could hear it in some of her songs. I forget what it was.
I need to listen to it a sixth or seventh time to really get it. But like yeah.
This is hot, like something hot bitch, I think, or something along the lines of that.
Yeah,
I can't think of it.
But yeah, like
she definitely
having
has
it, having the shink noise every four bars is like really hard. I really found
BITCH is hilarious too.
Yeah,
that's that one goes hard.
It also,
that was like kind of like a woman empowerment song almost, where it's like, fuck this, I don't need anything. That's actually very much the theme of the entire album is. You don't deserve this dude or whatever. Like he brings you to his parents, but there's a bunch of side shit going on, so fuck it, I'm gonna be my own person.
Yeah, that song, like, I noticed that, like with Cardi B's Invasion of Privacy, it does something that most trap artists can't do, which is, like, tap into emotions and feelings.
Yeah,
which is, like,
and that's what this definitely does.
And like, it's also in the middle of the drop or album as well, similar to Invasion of Privacy, where, like, you start to go into the, like, interior, not just outside, like, the tough shell of, like, being a trap artist and shit, and, like, flexing the usual stuff. It's definitely there and it's definitely great, but the part in the middle where it's actually talking about like the main refrain of the song BITCH is basically saying that you're gonna call me a bitch anyways, so
exactly.
I'm gonna be myself.
So I'm gonna be exactly.
Yeah. So it's really pointing
you're
that
gonna
like
call me, you're gonna like, call me that anyway.
The sexist tropes exist in the world, so why am I going to try to like fit my behavior in order to be a certain thing when like it's a lose-lose situation anyway? I'd rather be a BITCH, cause that's what you gonna call me when I'm tripping anyway. You know you can't control me, baby. You need a real one in your life. You bitches ain't gonna give it to you, right? I'd rather be a BITCH, cause that's what you gonna call me when I'm tripping anyway. You know you can't control me, baby. You need a real one in your life. Them bitches ain't gonna give it to you, right? I got my mind on getting paid. We ain't spoken some days. He probably thinking I'm in pain, but I'm really on game. Ain't no nigga finna stop me. Independent, I got me. All the shit that I be needing can't depend on the prolly. And that's fucked up. I think that is a very applicable kind of idea to a lot of the world. And it's a really good thing here.
This is definitely my favorite trap thing drop album to come out since I Am Greater Than I Was.
Wow.
By far.
Amazing. How do you feel about the would you have wanted more than 24 minutes of this album? And if so, how much more? Because I think this is a perfect, like, to me this is just like a charcuterie board of the best of Megan Thee Stallion.
Honestly, you don't need much more than this. Maybe a song or two more.
Literally like 10 minutes more.
Like 10 minutes more, but 10 minutes more of songs like Hit My Phone, where it's that in between, like that trap and B style, that slower stuff. If you put that mixed in with the craziness, then you have a complete LP and that would be fantastic. That's the only thing you could add to it. If you add more trap, then it's too much. It's too much saturation is weighing all the good stuff down. So that's why I like with these drops, to where you can listen to a bunch of times and get into it more, other than these fucking 3 hour long albums where you're just like stabbing yourself over and over and over again until you're like, can it stop? Stop the hammering. But yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, arbitrary scale for this is not gonna be your vibrating phone. It's going to be video calling services. This is a good, this is Windows Messenger. This is Windows Live Messenger.
This is AIM, baby.
This is back in 2001.
We're bringing
where you at?
We're bringing it back on AIM when people used to use Sidekicks.
And Sidekick was the best phone ever made.
That shit was hilarious.
I still
like the spaceship mode on Sidekick when you just light up and go crazy, and then you spin it and it just light up and go crazy.
Oh, that was great. To this day, the Sidekick is better than the iPhone. Like, by far. Like, just like, I would rather have a Sidekick than an iPhone. But,
yes.
Whatever. We're going to do it. Great album. And now, I don't know if you heard me laughing at about 9 p.m. last night,
yes.
But it was directly because of this article.
First off, I don't think I've ever seen Future without glasses, so I didn't know he had eyeballs.
And secondly, so as we mentioned, we're not going to make this podcast too coronavirus heavy. Because for a lot of people, this is like an escape from all the news that's going on. But we do have like a running count on which musician is doing the best thing mm-hmm. for the coronavirus relief. I still think Rihanna's is number one, because that's like a straight $5 million like cash donation to these like companies. But Future is working with a... I think they're a company... They're working with like a mask, like sewing company. Mm-hmm. Atlanta Sewing Style is the name. And he is working through Future's Free Wishes, Free Bands, Free Wishes Foundation. And making handcrafted face masks for doctors, nurses, scientists, and other people working around COVID-19 patients. Mm-hmm. Hopefully these masks don't just like look nice, but they're also like medically sustainable, but like they look nice. And they seem to work medically, since there is a shortage of personal...
PPE like, masks.
Yeah. Protection equipment, devices, and things like that. Naturally, because Future did write a song a little bit about this, this is called the Mask On Initiative.
Fuck it, mask off.
Yeah, this time, fuck it, mask on, because the real heroes of this country, never the boys in blue, it's always the doctors, the medical workers, who are just like...
Not all heroes wear capes.
Yeah, some of them wear scrubs.
So this is interesting. Dr. Dre's The Chronic, Mr. Rogers' song, Mr. Rogers' songs are to be archived in the Library of Congress.
Yeah, I mean, this happens. This is something that happens every single year.
Yeah.
Where the Library of Congress goes, these things are culturally significant enough, given enough time having passed, in order for us to put in the Library of Congress.
So what's going to happen in our generation? So are that's they going to really put Bad Bitches Only in the Library of Congress? I just want to, that's like every white person's nightmare, right? You roll up to the pristine edition of the Library of Congress, and then there's just 21 Savage sitting down, man spreading AP's homies iced out.
That's an excellent question.
Pointed around my head, looking like a light.
Let me think about it a little bit. I think, so like you're going in a direction with like what trap album would definitely
like, and for sure because culture because it's such a cultural impact.
No, I would yeah, Migos maybe, but definitely Future is gonna be in this.
Future, yeah, I would not be surprised.
Yeah, like especially Future, T.I.
Yeah,
like the
I think Future and Drake. I think Jumpman would be in it.
That's possible.
I think that's a song that again, that's a song to me that really started the whole trap bonanza.
I mean, like. Trap, there's a trap museum that was recently started like in Atlanta, and it goes back to like the beginnings, back to that era I was talking about earlier in the podcast where like Killer Mike is just coming up and T.I. So like early 2000s is like when you really see it, but like when it really hits the mainstream, like we can talk about like Detroit House and all these different things, but like when it hits the mainstream is a different point. And as often is the case, the real heads of that particular genre like the old shit more than the new shit. But I think, yeah, it's only a matter of time before Future's in the Library of Congress. That's a really good point.
If you're a metro, no, trust you, I'm going to shoot you. Oh, that's gonna be cool. You just walk in the Library of Congress and they open the door and that's what happens.
If you're a metro, no, trust you. I would love Metro Boomin's trap tag to be like, as you walk into the Martin Luther King Museum on DC on the mall. In your metro, no. That's a Boondocks episode right there.
100%.
Anyways, the next album we have to review in this wonderful podcast episode is Fortet's 16 Oceans. 16 songs long.
It's 54 minutes.
Thank you for that. And it's quite an album. It's quite an album.
It's interesting, to say the least.
Yeah.
I'm at first on Sugar, so you go first.
Sure.
On
16 Oceans. Fortet is generally like an ambient music...
Experimental electronic ambient music.
Exactly, yes.
The best way to explain
it. It's the kind of stuff you can have on background as you're working, but like it's still kind of peppy, but not like...
Yeah, there's some stuff where it's just like 8 minutes of ambient stuff, kind of like Tycho, and then you have other songs like Baby in here where they just go hard, and you're like, whoa, yeah. Okay, I gotta get up and dance. Like, my hips are moving.
Yeah, Tycho is a very unique and like very apt kind of like comparison to this, except I'd say Fortet goes like even deeper in the experimental. And my top line thing from this is like maybe like Because there's some songs in here that are like 50 seconds, 1 minute, 10 mm-hmm. seconds long.
And, there's Love Salad, which is 720, which is a very good track. I'll get to that in a bit.
Yes. I would not say this album is like 16 oceans, but I would say this entire album experience, this one, is like one of those oceans you find on another moon, another planet. Like Saturn has a moon that's like entirely ocean.
Saturn has a shit.
And that's moons. This. And Saturn has literally only one moon. I'm kidding. But like Saturn has... of one of the many moons it has, there's a moon with a ocean. Big ocean on it. It's just entirely ocean, and that's this album. And I mean to say that because, like, each song, other than the like the transitionary ones, I won't call them filler, but they're definitely transitionary. Each song has so much depth to it
mm-hmm.
that even doing my usual minimum two, but around like 3 to 4 listens of an album, especially for tech, because we were going to review this last week.
Yeah,
so I've listened to it about 4 times.
Yeah.
Usually around 2 times, I feel like I have my, like, reach around an album. I don't, and it's not even like some of the other albums where I'm like, I'm going to need to listen to this more.
Like,
and
oh, I don't understand.
It's like,
and this...
I'm not even close really feeling this album.
No, there's so much. Like, again, my Baby is ridiculously good. I really like Love Salad. Really, really like that track. It's the sixth track on the album, and it is, there's so much into that song itself. It's long, it's 7 minutes 20 seconds, but there's so many little bleeps in it. It starts really slow, it builds up, it goes slow, but there's just so much to pick out of that song where you're like picking somebody's brain that you really like talking. You know, you have a wise conversation with somebody. That's what that song feels like to me. So then that's also the entire album is like that. There's so much to unpack here.
Yeah, like each...
Like, they have a song called Harpsichord, which is just a harpsichord playing, which I fuck.
Harpsichord is, like, one of my favorites.
Which, like, I fucks heavy with because I like harpsichords a lot from my mom. So, shout out Gene.
It's not only just one of my favorite instruments, it's one of my favorite, like, it's on every single keyboard or synthesizer is a harpsichord button. And it instantly just, like, adds so much character to a song you're, like, creating or making when it goes from straight just the piano sounds to harpsichord.
Well, yeah, because the grandfather of most modern day music, Johann Sebastian Bach, wrote mostly in the harpsichord.
The grandfather of modern music is Yamaha. I'm
kidding. It's rough.
Let me see what other songs I like in here. Actually, I'm going to, like, feel free to fill in the middle part of this, but my favorite song on here is Something in the Sadness. It feels like part
of the sadness, yeah.
Feels like part two of School, which is the intro song mm-hmm. to this album, and it's like really kind of fast and like peppy, but also like each Fortet song on this album especially feels like you could listen to it and discover all these unique things, have all these like feelings or vibes, and listen to it during a bunch of different situations in order to really understand how it's going. Like, I listened to this on a run, I listened to this while playing Animal Crossing, mm-hmm. I listened to this just kind of on its own, and each time it feels a little bit different, which is
it does.
It takes real talent for you to be able to create an album, and then the listeners come away from that with that feeling. That doesn't really happen.
Yeah, it's rare. It's very, very unique. I adore this album a lot.
Yes.
Something in Silence is good. I like Green is also good. That's just the fuck. I don't even know what to do. We haven't even talked about Baby much. That sounds ridiculous.
Go ahead. That's the second song of
the
album.
That's the second song. It's just fun. Oh, do yourself a pleasure and listen to Baby by Forte and the entire bloody album, because you have time.
It's hard. I don't, if I'm like being self-critical, I don't know if we've done the best job of describing this album, but really you have to listen to it. I can tell you it's ambient, and I can tell you it's electronic, and I can tell you it's experimental, but beyond that, you really have to like listen
honestly,
to it to understand it.
Yeah. That's one of the things I don't like being just at a loss for words for an album, but that's not saying it's like Hail to the Thief blessed six
times.
I
don't even know if this is like one of the more amazing albums I've heard, and I don't think it is, but it's just so much unique.
There's so much to
it's one of a kind.
Yes, it's very unique in that regard, which is fun, and we don't get this as very often, so fuck yeah, listen to it.
Yeah, I'm going to the arbitrary scale of video services because it has to be something that like hasn't been copied but is unique into how it experiences.
Google Glasses.
That's not a video service. That's a stalking service.
That's a society. Because I don't know how many people know Google Glasses.
the inside tech people are saying that Google Glasses is coming back soon.
That's hilarious.
That's a really rough idea.
Please no.
Because we're so much less paranoid about technology and cameras on people in 2020 than we were in 2013.
Yeah. Let's not do Google Glasses.
This is going to be... God, innovative video app. Okay, this is the one I low-key liked more of like the ones we did this week, so I'm gonna call it Zoom.
Zoom?
It's not like a unique video app, but like it fucking works, it gets the job done, it's like fucking powering the country right now.
I mean, I use it for my meetings and it works fine.
So. Yeah.
Cool. More power to you.
So Arctic Monkeys.
Sheffield Boys.
Yes, which is important. We will mention it later.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
is the, Matt Helders, the drummer of Arctic Monkeys, which is important because we'll mention it later. But anyways, he did this interview with a YouTube channel where he like kind of talked a lot and it's kind of like messing around in a fun way. He teaches the YouTuber how to play drums. He like talks about other things like here and there. It's a really interesting kind of like thing, but there are two main bits from this that I find really interesting.
Yes.
One, we'll get out of the way because it's like fun. Arctic Monkeys are actively working on their seventh album. I don't know how long that'll take. I hope it takes a little while just because you've heard us on Audioface. We're like broken clocks on this. Like artists need to take little breaks in between their albums in order to make their next album sound good.
Yeah. It depends on the band too. So I mean, it's almost been 2 years since Tranquility Base. It was May of 2018 with Tranquility Base.
Really?
So it's two years. So it's already 2 years. So that's already a little bit of a chunk of time. But they said Matt Helder said that he's currently in London to write with Alex Turner, my boy, and they're all going to the studio together this time to see if there's anything worth recording, which is going to be very interesting to see. Because I know Alex has his side project, The Last Shadow Puppets, and their Last Shadow Puppets are definitely going to be making more music. Like they said that him and Miles Kane said that they're going to do that at some point, which we never got to talk about The Last Shadow Puppets much because their album came out in 2016, a year before our podcast art.
Yeah,
because if we did that album, holy fuck, that album was good.
We certainly did a music recommendations episode on it.
For sure, talked about a bunch of their music. But anyways, so yeah, Arctic Monkeys are doing some stuff. But the funniest fucking thing ever about this interview, right, is that this YouTuber / interviewer had no idea who the hell he was talking to. And like, this is why we need to have artists on our podcast, because we know who we're talking to. So I don't know who the YouTuber's name is, but whatever, this dude with glasses looks like the most Silicon Valley dude of all time. He kept calling Matt Helders the drummer from the Kaiser Chiefs, and Matt Helders would always mutter Arctic Monkeys. Like, how the hell do you know the fucking distinguish? The biggest thing, though, is he said, did you
learn... He titled it...
The title is the other thing, but he said, did you learn drumming on the mean streets of Manchester? If you know anything at all about the Arctic goddamn Monkeys, is that they're from Sheffield. They're the most Sheffielders of all time.
They entirely like, different parts of England.
It's a big difference.
There are mean streets of Manchester. Having been there, I can attest to this. But that's
like Jesus Christ. That's like saying you're from Seattle or you're from Atlanta, Georgia. Like there's such a cultural difference.
Like, yeah, it's like it's like going to Future and saying, oh, so you came up from the mean streets of Tallahassee.
Yeah, he's like,
it's like, bro,
on my head, there's a dagger.
Well, like, I'm yeah. like, I'm gonna rap about killing you in my next single.
Seriously, like how?
So the by far the worst thing, which I accidentally like set the lead on, was the guy's name was James Veitch, who basically did like one viral TED talk where he talked about a spam email caller, which like is the oldest radio trick in the book, is to just fuck with a spam caller. But he titled video 3 in this 3-part series, Drumming with Arcade Fire Legend Matt Helders.
Yep.
And I had to Google this at one point, because I'm like, have I been existentially wrong?
Nope.
And like Matt Helders is secretly the drummer for like two of one of the greater alternative rock bands of all time? Or is this dude so far up his ass that redacted? I can't say anything else. I don't even know this guy much. YouTubers make mistakes, it's fine, but this is a pretty fucking large mistake. It's a pretty fucking large mistake. Fucking remedial, dude. Figure it out.
You did Matt Helders dirty. I feel bad for him. Fucking
yeah.
Headlines, glass, and
we were talking about this before the podcast started, that like you can see when people being interviewed are incredibly uncomfortable by that interview.
Yeah.
And this was one of those for sure.
That's hilarious. So Britney Spears is a socialist. She's communist.
Communist, yeah.
She told fans to love each other and to redistribute wealth.
Can I read that? Well, she posted a quote from Mimi Zhu that said,
that's wild.
That said,
that's fucking wild.
And I quote, during this time of isolation, we need to connect now more than ever. Call your loved ones, write virtual love letters. Technologies like virtual communication, streaming, and broadcasting are part of our community collaboration. We will learn to kiss each other and hold each other through the waves of the web. We will feed each other, redistribute wealth, strike. We will understand our own importance from the places we must stay. Communion moves beyond walls. We can still be together. And a lot of that's just like a connection kind of thing. And then
The proletarian is nothing but his chains.
The gentle laborer shall no longer suffer. I caution people to like seriously like reject false icons.
Super reject false icons.
Celebrities can just like post things that they think are cool and not understand the ramifications of them.
And then she's just going to be quoting Chomsky or some stuff.
That'd be incredible. Last April, she checked out of a mental health facility, and her father has conservatorship over her money and her affairs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Britney's wildin', but like, I'll take what we can get at this point.
But reject false icons if she goes back and says, nah, tax the poor.
Yeah, I've made myself clear. Little Dragon's New Me, Same Us is an album that has just been released by Little Dragon, 12 songs long, 47 mm-hmm. minutes. And Little Dragon has been around in like the indie pop and pop spaces for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I first heard of her naturally on the Grills album, Plastic Beach. And like since then, they've grown from their sound a little bit while also kind of staying true to their same like kind of chill mm-hmm. pop kind of thing. But then earlier this year, the lead single came out from it, which also happens to be the first song, Hold On. Like literally, it's still for me like song of the year.
Yeah,
one of the song,
one
of the
song of the year is
it's
for
pretty
sure.
phenomenal. It's really cool, but like it is one of those singles which like happens from time to time, which is why we have a singles. One of the reasons we have a singles rule on Audio Phase is that the single doesn't tell you the full story of the album, and this album is generally less like other than Hold On and maybe like a couple other songs in here. It's the less like peppy of them, and the rest are just like that usual sort of chill wave you expect from Little Dragon.
Right.
So I thought this might be like an album of the year. It probably isn't, but still like really good. I want to like go into it a little bit. Do you want to take ahead? No.
Yeah, it's there's a lot to unpack from it. It is a good album. There's a lot of songs on here I genuinely like a lot. I like more of the middle to end of the album than I do of the beginning of the album, actually. Because you have Hold On, which is that's an opening track. That's mm-hmm. my favorite opening track of an album since Star Treatment from Arctic Monkeys, speaking of them today, by far. We've had a bunch of good opening tracks, a few really good ending tracks this year, but that's for a start of an album, man, that sets you up for a lot. Rush and Another Lover are okay songs, but they're a little slow. Kids is cool. I like, there's the chunk right here I like a lot where it's New Fiction, Sadness, Are You Feeling Sad, and Where You Belong. Those four
really
songs.
Really peppy album.
What?
Really peppy album.
Which is funny because you would think these songs are really sad. Like the tone of them and stuff would be sad, but they're not. Because she says in Sadness, it starts like that first minute is a little bit like slower and it builds and builds and builds. It has this beautiful crescendo of it. And then that song transforms into Are You Feeling Sad? Which feels like a Gorillaz song.
Yeah.
Are You Feeling Sad? With the bass beat, everything, the theme of it, it's like pick yourself up, you can do it, blah blah blah. So it's Are You Feeling Sad? It's like, no, you shouldn't feel sad, you should do all this other stuff.
It's a pick-me-up. It's like, are you feeling sad is the question. And then like the rest of the song is a pick-me-up.
Yeah, and the bass line with all electronic around it sounds like Plastic Beach Gorillaz. It's really fucking
Which deep, like, it's... When I first heard Little Dragon's... mainly the singer of Little Dragon's songs on Plastic Beach, which were Empire Ants and To Bench. I went back to hear like Little Dragon as like a larger band. Not just the lead singer, and tried to like figure out like what their sound was. And their sound very much back then was like Plastic Beach.
Yes.
Like it just sounded very similar to the thing that they were going for, which was like really interesting. What was the song? Like Machine Dreams, it came out in 2009.
Yep.
Plastic Beach came out in 2010. And like even some of those themes around like the artificial nature of technology, how we simultaneously rely on it, but it's like this like a wisp in the wind, like it can easily very go away. It's not like a tangible thing. Mm-hmm. These were themes that are very like in the Little Dragon sort of DNA that translated very well to specifically Plastic Beach. I don't know if any other part of the Gorillaz world is like that, but I'm not going to compare Gorillaz and Little Dragon too much in this part, but like you mentioned it there. Yeah, I really do like a lot of this album. I think I just expected it to keep up the tempo of Hold On.
And it definitely didn't, which... I don't know if I like that or if I don't like that.
I mean,
I wish it did a little bit more, but it's still, there's a lot of good stuff to unpack from it. It's not what I expected at all.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Because when you hear Hold On releases a single, it's like, holy shit, if this is a single, what else is going to be their work?
And it exactly.
Just, it slowed, it was really slowed down, but it was experimental. There was a lot of different sounds, a lot of different things. You had Asia Instruments wrapped in with electronic and bass, which... I don't really think I've heard much except in underground house music, and that's it. And it's, even there, it's such a slim picking that you hear that style. And it's something that I'm not used to, but I like. So I put a cut, like, Are You Feeling Sad has that, Sadness has that, Where You Belong. I put those in my 2020 playlist.
Which you can find as a link in the podcast description if you have one of those apps
because
that has podcast descriptions.
It's something that's so unique, and it's, I don't think many people have heard before, so I want it to get more exposed that way.
Do you like the Are You Feeling Sad with Kalliukas or just
yes, it, that one's more upbeat.
They're slightly different
because Are You Feeling Sad, the one on the album, just the normal album, it starts off with like a little monologue thing for about 10-15 seconds and then it builds up to it. The one on the one with Kalliukas, it starts off just with the bass, with the beat, everything in it, and I like it a little bit more because of that. But there's the same track length, but they are a bit different.
Yeah, this is a really good album. I just need to, like, definitely I made a mistake, which was expecting that Hold On would be a heartbringer for the rest of the album. And it's not. It's still, like, a really good Little Dragon album, but still, like, a Little Dragon album. And it's very chill. It's not quite peppy, but it's, like, in its feelings in a moody, reflective way. It's definitely going to fit for a lot of people.
It's indie at its core. which I like, which is it's this true indie style of doing different things, experimenting, going into that chill style of you're just making music as an art form. And yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
I like that. So, all right.
Arbitrary scale. This is Uvu.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a little indie, it's in there, but you know, Uvu, just like,
I remember that shit.
You know, when you're in middle school and you're trying to put the moves on.
Dead ass.
That so this is all Uvu was used for, really? Yeah, yeah, I thought
it,
so.
No,
yeah.
It was 100%. Only, yeah, I'm not going to say that.
No. I would love to get into middle school Sean's
I never used
game.
Uvu. Yeah. I never used Uvu.
I used
because I wasn't popular. I didn't like people.
So here's the thing. Wow, this is such a random audio phase episode.
I don't like this.
Popularity in high school and middle school is very, not overrated, but it's misunderstood. You can be popular and not liked, which was me.
Oh,
like,
you were,
everyone
yo.
Knew who I was, but everyone also knew I was a fuckhead.
Everybody fucking hated you, Dan, except me. Because I vehemently despised you more than anybody, and that's why we're best friends and roommates.
You're like, in order to this is a different flavor of hatred.
Yes, really... It is like a core level of like something that is not on viable, on this tangible on this earth. It is not, there is no decimal made for this amount of hatred that I expend on you. And it's fun.
Quick hits.
Quick hits. So London, right? They used the closure of the Corona time. To restore Abbey Road. So you know the crosswalk that the Beatles that made Abbey Road, which is... is that my favorite? Yeah, that's my favorite Beatles
so album. Legendary that Drake has a tattoo of it.
Don't start me on that because I'll go on a 5-minute tangent on Drake's tattoos.
So Drake has a tattoo of him in front of John Lennon on Abbey Road, like in the very front, because he set records that beat Abbey Road's previously held records. Anyways, London used this time, the fact that there aren't a
from
ton of tourists.
I'm upset, from I'm upset to Here Comes the Sun. anyways, but they use it because...
What a time to be alive, no pun intended.
Jesus. The amount of human traffic that goes onto it fucks up the crosswalk, so they're actually repairing the crosswalk and painting it because they need to do that, which, yeah.
Yeah, it remains like a big symbol today. People still go and like walk to it. I definitely probably would if I was there.
I'm 1,000% doing that when I'm there.
Yeah, but definitely it looks really nice now because the lines are fucking painted in for the first time since the damn like 50s.
Deadass. So Spotify is they're going to raise $20 million for a music community.
Mainly in matching. So like they're hoping to raise, or maybe have already raised at this point, up to $10 million, which they'll match. So up to $10 million, they'll match the $20 million, and the rest is just like their own. So that's about time. So where is this going is a good question. So it's not going like directly to artists per se. There are certain,
not like Bandcamp.
There are certain charities, including Music Cares, the Help Musicians and PRS Foundations. You've heard of PRS? I literally have not heard of any of these.
No, like I've heard of PRS before.
No, I haven't. So I have. If you can explain anything about it to me or anyone in the audience,
that'd help. Like, it's just a fund for starting up musicians.
Okay. That's it. Well, that's good. So yeah, they're donating to
Music Cares and Help Musicians. I've vaguely heard of Music Cares,
but Also, Spotify is changing a feature or like updating a feature for artists who upload directly to Spotify. That's something you can do where you can solicit donations directly from fans. So if you're a smaller artist and you're like, hey, I need help because I'm not doing concerts right now.
Yeah.
Then you can donate apparently through the Spotify platform.
And
in order
that's what that. Going back to my whole classical pianists mainly that I've seen that they did the live concerts and stuff, that's how they've been getting funding. A lot of their stuff is because they promoted all of their work and gave free concerts to people. Say, hey, I'm not doing my shows, here we go. And I think it's now interesting to see how much people are going to be supporting arts, because this is a big eye-opener for a lot of people that we go to the arts when times are rough or we have nothing else to do. Basically, we go to art forms, really, to express yourselves, to heal, to entertain. I mean, there's just so much into it. That's why we have this podcast.
It's why it's fun.
And we like to end audio face on a funny note.
Yes. So for you non-old heads out there, there's a very incredible classic song called My Sharona by The Knack. It's a really popular song. It's got a really fun drum beat that sounds incredibly eerily similar to the intro of The Damage Report with John Iadarola, which he hates, but we love making fun of this. Literally everyone in the control room, like, as the drum beats are going on for the show, we're just like, you can hear, even with the muffled walls, we're just like, my Sharona! Good times. But yeah.
Rip.
So someone tweeted, a journalist tweeted that, like, it would be a really good time for someone to make a My Corona parody out of My Sharona, especially the artist. A CNN journalist, Bill Weyer. But of course, like, the issue is the lead singer, Doug Figer, has already died from the Knack. However, the guitarist and the bassist are still alive. And they were able to Zoom conference the guitar and the bass parts of My Sharona to remix it as By Corona.
By Corona. That's fucking hilarious.
It's fucking hilarious. At least people are keeping...
What time is it?
Again, like you
corona
said...
Corona time!
Like you said, people are coming to music, maybe not in the numbers, but like people are turning to the arts more broadly for a sense of purpose, a sense of relaxation, a sense of escape. 100%. And it's really nice that artists are responding in the best way possible. Just trying to be good sports, trying to get people through this.
We mentioned this
through like live streaming things that artists are doing, and through like special little internet parodies like this. So,
or if you're a gal gadot, you're just gonna cover Imagine with a bunch of rich people.
Yeah, or you literally donate no money whatsoever and you sing a song.
Yes,
totally fine. Anyways, that's been Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music news and music culture that mostly matters. You can follow the show on @AudioFacePod on all social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, fuck Facebook, YouTube.audioface.show is where we are. If you go to audioface.show, you're probably getting a really weird security warning because I'm in the process of updating the website, but the website is about to be updated and it's going to have, like, soon a dedicated page for the Audio Face Awards.
Yes.
You can see those things. And a new and improved page for like actually listening to the podcast if you're like in a web browser for some reason. But otherwise, if you're not listening to it on a web browser, then listen to it in a podcast app. Maybe it's Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Stitcher of those ones. Or you should rate us highly wherever you listen because that helps us very much. And this is a free podcast and this is how you can help us for free with the time that you have. Sean Suarez can be found on Twitter at SWSuarez. I can be found on Twitter at Dan from the Web. Sean Suarez can be found on Instagram at SWSuarez. I can be found on Instagram at Dan from the Internet. And we will see you next week with more music. We're not going to make any promises because we Although, I hear Thundercats releasing an album next week, and that's probably going to stay on there. I can probably promise that. So, thank you very much for watching and listening. Please stay safe and wash your hands and abide by your local government's requirements on these pandemic. And we will talk to you next week. Cheers.
Bye.